The Pacific Islander Indigeneity and Education Conference kicks off this Friday at the Stevenson Union on the campus of Southern Oregon University. This year's theme is Voyaging, a Narrative of Life. I'm joined in studio by its co-chairs, Shanson Nihapali, Abby Awe, and Hilale Raposa. And then you all are going to kill me on your names, and that's great. We can deal with that as well, because that's a part of doing the culture work, right? We'll have a conversation on the purpose of the mission and the challenge of indigeneity and culture keeping today on The Keenest Observers. Welcome. I'm so glad to have you all in studio, and we can talk about your participation in organizing of the conference. So let me go around again. Let you go around and say your names again, and tell me a little bit about yourselves and background.
Hi, everyone. I am Abigail Owai. I am from the island of Oahu, and I'm a third-year student at SOU.
Hi, everyone. I'm Hi'ile Raposa. I am also from the island of Oahu, and I am a second-year student.
And keeping with the common theme, I am also from the island of Oahu. My name is Shanson Nihipali, and I am a graduating senior.
Congratulations. Thank you all for being here. So tell me about this conference. It seems that this is a student-organized conference. Is that true? And tell me a little bit about the history of the conference.
Indeed it is. So back in 2016, in the summer, I stood here in Ashland to work over the summer, and wanting to continue to educate SOU about Pacific Islander culture, I worked with some of our student life staff to sort of set a foundation of a educational event that was student-led, and out of that interactions came this conference.
So how many years then? So what's the, again, you said 2000 what?
16.
In the summer.
And then we took about a year and a half to do a lot of soul searching to see what we wanted people to take away from this experience. And so last February, we had our first program, and it was a success, which led us to this coming Friday.
Right, which I see a lot of smiles. I wish you all could see there's a lot of smiles. So there's a lot of like pride, but also a little like, you know, how is it going to work mm-hmm. for the second year, right? Is that what I'm picking
up?
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's always the case when you're like building something and you're trying to establish an institution. But tell me what the institution is supposed to do. What is the conference supposed to do?
For a lot of the conference, we try to target the students here at Southern Oregon University and kind of give them a free space to talk about important issues that either they've experienced or they can relate to. And it doesn't have to just be students or community members of Pacific Islander descent. We also open it up to allies and just people who feel like this is an important topic to talk about, and just to give them a reason why, you know, there should be a space in which people feel okay and welcomed to talk about these types of topics.
Okay, so we're going to get, after our first break, into what those topics are, but I think it's interesting that you said feel okay, and we're going to talk about that as well. But, you know, what has been kind of the challenge of feeling okay as in your transition from the island to here? Abby, you know,
I think being so far away from home, we kind of get like lost in the mix of everything, of like college and the Pacific Northwest, just like being a completely different place from Hawaii and experiencing all these new things with new people kind of gives us more pride as Hawaiians, I think, and Pacific Islanders. You realize that people didn't grow up in the same experiences or with the same background of things. And then coming here, you get to share that with everyone. And creating this conference and being a part of it gives us a space to actually talk about those things in like an institutional way, instead of just having conversations with our friends and educating them in small ways. We get to have a big platform and impact more people than just the few people we interact with on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so when you say an institutional way, you're meaning what?
We have some keynote speakers coming and people who have really worked their entire lives to educate Pacific Islanders and who have a strong history and background in all of those areas of culture and history. So I think it's really important that us as students get to have our voices heard and we get to bring people in who, you know, have been through it and more experience, I
mm-hmm.
think.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And I think another piece to the importance of this conference is that we're trying to make this the hub of these conversations for the Pacific Northwest as well as the West Coast. And so through our work in on campus and educating our community about it, we've also done a lot of outreach to other campuses and made their Pacific Islander groups aware that a space like this is here and it's open to them to join us. And so we hope in the future to have other campus partners.
So do you have campus partners from other, are people from other campuses, Pacific Islanders and people of that diaspora coming to this conference?
We expect some guests from the University of Oregon to be present with us this year. But I think this year our communication definitely increased with a lot of the other public universities. And so we anticipate that the next program will have a lot more involvement from other campuses.
Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful thing, intersecting and having communities, student communities and communities in general, kind of aligning across region is a beautiful, strong thing. So, I know that this is something that you would want to kind of continue in that vein for a minute, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. That's a beautiful thing. We are going to come back and continue to talk about the theme of your conference, which is
Voyaging a Narrative of Life.
Yeah, that's a very interesting thing. If you're just joining us, I'm Robert Goodwin. My guests are the organizers of the Pacific Islanders Indigeneity and Education Conference happening this Friday at SOU. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Robert Goodwin. We're talking with Shanson Hipali and Abby Owai and Hiile Raposa. I did pretty decently, they're saying, on the names, which is a beautiful thing. They are the organizers of the Pacific Islanders Indigeneity and Education Conference happening this Friday at the Stevenson Union on the SOU campus. You're welcome to join this conversation. Call us at 800-838-3760 or email comments and questions to jx@jeffnet.org. Before we get into the theme of the conference, can we talk about this? Like, right what I am kind of like engaging with you all in the moment is a cultural, interesting bridge that I'm sure you all have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. Like, say my name correctly. Yeah?
Yes.
Let's own that. I mean, that is something that I'm trying to use some compassion and empathy with, but I'm feeling like very uncomfortable about not saying your names in the way they have been culturally given to you. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about that.
I think as an ally, it's really important to have these conversations and to say, I want to learn. I want to get better. Like, help me work on how to say your name correctly. Because a lot of people will just step over your name. A lot of professors mm-hmm. will do that, and they don't have the time to come up to you and say, how do I pronounce your name? And it happens a lot with all the students on our campus, I think, have that, like, struggle, or we have to raise our hand and say, that's not really how you pronounce my name. But there's students who won't speak up mm-hmm. and will constantly deal with, like, getting their name pronounced incorrectly. But I think it's important that you have this conversation with us. And, like, we appreciate it, and we love it, and we have these big smiles on our faces because you've taken the time to want to learn mm-hmm. our names mm-hmm. and why that's important.
I think coming from, like, a student perspective, when I first came here, I was sort of afraid for people to know what I go by. So my first name is actually Jerrica. But back home, everyone calls me by my middle name, which is Hi'ile. And I kind of struggled with letting myself feel, and myself and my culture feel a bit vulnerable in the sense that I didn't want people to mess up my pronunciation or appropriate it in any type of way. So I just kind of went with what was easier. And I tend to do that a lot just because I don't want to make the other person feel uncomfortable. But then coming from, like, a student perspective, I had to understand that no one was really going to understand myself or my culture if I didn't give them the opportunity to.
Right. It's a developmental moment, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
To claim, mm-hmm. you know, pure identity in the moment for yourself as much as anyone else. And I understand that. And I'm glad you all are, like, working to be, you know, in your own authenticity. Mm-hmm. And that supports this kind of work that you're doing. So in the spirit of that, like, talk to me about what is a Voyager in South Pacific culture, and how does that connect to the theme of the conference?
Well, voyaging is a rich part of our history, and it's a very beautiful thing that showcases how our ancestors worked with nature to navigate across the oceans and to adventure, in a sense. And so in thinking about that complex task of voyaging and using the stars, the winds, the ocean, and the animals in the ocean to guide your journey, we thought it was a beautiful thing that we could connect to sort of our journey through life. And so we came up with the theme, Voyaging a Narrative of Life. And I'll read you a little breakdown, a little nuanced breakdown of what that theme means to us. And so life is like a voyage. Our family, the canoe, provides us a safe place to seek shelter and learn. The sails of the canoe are like our parents or guardians, guiding us towards that next accomplishment. The wind being the silent influences in life, society, they come and go, but always for a reason. The rain, times of sadness. The sun, times of happiness. The stars, times of reflection. And the thunder and lightning being anger. The oceanic animals being the various people we meet in life, some friendly, some mean, some to mentor us, and others to teach us lessons. We hope that everyone's voyage is full of peace, gratitude, and forward-moving motions. And we ask everyone to keep reflecting and think of how their voyage of life is leading them to a place that benefits both themselves and their career, as well as their community.
So it's pure, that's beautiful first. Like, right, yeah, you all should be commended on that. I love how the cultural metaphor connects to your experience in navigating not only student life, but hopefully where you intend to go in future.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm guessing then that is what the conference is about.
Yes.
So tell me how you're putting together the conference and what we can expect given that metaphor, that beautiful metaphor of voyaging.
So I'll start. So starting with Andrea Tupola, who is our keynote speaker.
And she is?
She is a former Hawaii State House representative who served from 2014 to 2018. And she also made history by becoming the first Samoan Hawaiian woman to serve as the House Minority Leader. And I followed her work for a while, and the one thing that stuck out to me was how her community-mindedness always was showcased at the forefront of everything she did. And so when I proposed her to Jerrica, and Daisy, who is also on our team but couldn't be here today. They read her bio, read up on her history, and were on board with it because they seen the relevance to how her career and her culture influenced her forward-moving motion in life.
So linking the idea of not losing culture and helping to move community forward. Yeah. And also, I understand that all three of you all are presenting in the conference. No?
I will not be.
You will not
but
be.
I am on the student panel.
Okay.
So I'll be representing in some way.
Yeah, yeah. And you tend to represent, right?
Yes.
As a former SOU
For
student,
sure.
Yeah, student senator here?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So. Well, I will be presenting on what it means to, or what the importance of language means to Pacific Islanders. I will be mainly focusing on the language of Hawaiians, both in pre-colonization time and how it has been affected after after the overthrow of the Hawaiian kingdom. And I, well, as a communications major, I thought it was really important to focus on how Hawaiians would interact with each other, because prior to colonization, there was no written language. So, like, the Hawaiian dictionary didn't exist. There wasn't really things or stories that were written down for people to remember. It was kind of this word of mouth and this word of song or dance that allowed them to communicate with each other. And I think that's really important when speaking on how students have traveled so far away from home and how they have chosen their ways in which to communicate with especially modern technology, and how that kind of takes a toll on who you are and how you fit into your culture. So that's kind of what my panel will be on.
Yeah, that's a huge, huge, like, chunk. Of,
yeah.
Like, that's a true voyage, right? Like, right. How do you maintain that? And then it's the pure way that we navigate, right, spaces. One of the ways that we navigate is through language and culture. But then, again, bridging, you know, that work and being able to use that as a basis to kind of found oneself and then, like, learn how to kind of move through spaces, like, that's the thing. But you also have, like, other foundations, right? Like, so there'll also be, I understand, a history of Hawaiian tattooing, right? Which is also kind of a foundational kind of, you know, practice that people use across culture to remind themselves of, you know, parts that they don't want to forget. It might be themselves, cultural, you know, all down the line. So it's very, you have a very broad kind of, you know, itinerary, structural itinerary, right?
Yeah, we wanted something that would get the message across, but also appeal to multiple audiences and interests. And so we found that having a politician, Mea Kakao'uhi, which is a traditional Hawaiian tattoo master, and also Jerrica's grandmother, a professor at the University of Hawaii, West Oahu, Dr. Stephanie Kamai, will be presenting some of her research.
On what?
So primarily her work at the University of Hawaii, West Oahu, is to work with students who are going into the education field. So right now she's just kind of working on how, well, because her university is considered an indigenous, a Hawaiian indigenous university, and they worked really hard to perpetuate the Hawaiian culture through all of the programs that they have at the university. So through her education program, they kind of talk about how you use Hawaiian culture values in a classroom, and especially when working with the younger generation in classrooms, and how you can perpetuate these values and instill a really rich type of education into each individual in the class, and just kind of which ways in which you can, kind of what we're doing here with the conference is, like, how do we educate people in the most productive and kind of getting people to speak more on why this is important. But I think her work really focuses on catching it early on with young minds and how they can grow and help become servant leaders.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to the organizers of the Pacific Islanders Indigeneity and Education Conference happening this Friday at the Stevenson Union on the SOU campus. Hilale Raposa, Shansini Hipali, and Abby Owai. Let's talk about that. What does indigeneity mean, you know, to, in my community and culture, it's not a monolith, right? But there are some foundations. You know, when we say indigeneity, or when you say, you know, cultural, you know, specificity in terms of like foundations, you know, what does it mean when, you know, Pacific Islanders say indigeneity, and what is the meaning behind that?
When we talk about indigeneity, we focus on the first people of that place. And as Hawaiians, we believe that we were the first people in Hawaii. And so it's very special to us to have this cultural history and these roots planted in. And this idea of indigeneity is really focused on how far we've come, but always having that connection to where we first began.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that it was important to us that we include indigeneity in the name so that when people see the name and then think of the program, they know that we'll be touching on more than just the romanticized topics of our culture. We'll be getting into the roots of what really matters, the foundation, the foundational values that make us Hawaiian or make us Pacific Islanders from a certain region in Oceania.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause you changed the name of the conference, right?
We did.
Yeah. Was that part of the reason?
It was a very intentional name change. And it started off as the Polynesian Education Conference. And then we realized moving into this year that name wasn't so inclusive of all of the cultures in Oceania. Because when we talk about Oceania, we encompass the Polynesian Triangle, the Micronesian Islands, and the Melanesian Islands.
Okay, can you step back and tell me, give me some geographical reference on where that is?
So Polynesia would be considered Hawaii, New Zealand, Easter Island, or Rapa Nui.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then Melanesia would be considered New Caledonia, the Cook Islands, and Fiji. And Micronesia is comprised of the Chuuk Islands and Pohnpei, which Daisy is actually from. And so hearing some of that feedback from her was very important to acknowledge, mm-hmm. I think, to us. And it opened the doors to more people to be involved and more voices to be heard, which is always a great thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think specifically we chose to change the name because we realized that if we're going to bring up this topic and talk about like what it means to be a individual of Oceania, we have to understand that we are not the only ones in Oceania. If we're going to create a space in which we want people to feel free to talk, we have to allow others to also speak for themselves. And I just, like, growing up, we have always thought, like, oh, Hawaii is, like, the islands of Hawaii. And, you know, there's other islands out there and there's other peoples. But we have, like, learned, like, growing up and moving away from home, you realize that there are other people that can find similarities with you, people who have also traveled from miles and miles away to find a better education, a better life. And I think it's important for us to realize that their stories are just as important as ours. And I think it's even enriching to learn what they have to say in comparison to ours.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like I noticed in the conference, you have a panel with Professor Brooke Colley, who is the director of the Native American Studies Division here at the campus. And I thought it was an interesting parallel to have her participation, you know, as the native peoples on this side of the continent, on this mm-hmm. continent as well. And although that she didn't, the native peoples didn't travel, there are some commonalities that I'm sure will be an interesting part of that panel. Yeah.
Yes. She's actually the conference advisor.
Okay.
And so she's provided us with a lot of insight from that indigenous perspective here as a scholar that helped us really reformulate our program to set it up for future success.
Mm-hmm.
So she's been a very involved and key person to this year's program.
Yeah, yeah. So what other groups are participating? What other populations of folk that have traveled are participating? Or do you know that yet?
With this conference, we started our focus on like the Polynesian people on campus that we know of,
mm-hmm.
but we can talk about that more later.
We definitely will. The conversation is about the Pacific Islanders Education Indigeneity and Education Conference is coming up at SOU at the Stevenson Union this Friday. And I'm talking to the organizers, and we will return after a short break. Back with the final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Robert Goodwin hosting my guests Shanson Nhapali and Abby Awai and Hiele Raposa are here. They are organizers of the Pacific Islanders Indigeneity and Education Conference happening this Friday at the Stevenson Union on the SOU campus, and they're giving me the business on my name pronunciation, and I love it. You're welcome to join this conversation. Call us at 800-838-3760 or email comments and questions to jxjeffnet.org. I'm a battle for the rest of this segment because I'm going to get your names if it kills me, right? Again, like we're talking about this. This is the culture work of the conference, right? Learning how to get to folks who are different than you and then also being able to ground yourself in your own culture and being able to use that to navigate systems. And a big part of this conference, as I understand it to be, also is how you navigate systems as a student.
Yes.
Yeah? So tell me about how you all are trying to do that in terms of the panel, because the day's events, because this conference runs a Friday and then you have some performative stuff on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But tell me what are students supposed to get out of this?
I think students are supposed to get from this year's program sort of a touch of different aspects of Pacific Islander culture at different areas. And so we have things that focus on professions, but things that are also grounded in the culture of Pacific Islander peoples. And then we'll be screening a film called Island Earth. Mm. And for us, that is a big touch on sustainability and how where we live in this industrious era where everything is extraction, but nobody's really paying attention to the repercussions of that extraction or those toxic chemicals that are being tested on our land. And so it touches on a variety of issues, and it really should invigorate you. It should make you hungry to do the work. to get involved and to say your piece.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what about, I guess what's interesting to me about even that offering is that it sounds like it gives a call for folk to then go back and practice
mm-hmm.
that. For sure.
Right. So yes. How have you been able to practice those principles here while you've been, you know, in Ashland, you know, versus I'm making a big presumption, I guess. Mm-hmm. I'm making the presumption that you might have practiced those tenets on the island.
Yes.
And that's a huge assumption. Maybe you haven't, maybe it's something that you all learned as well. But also, what is the practice that you found, or have you found a way to practice it now and here?
I think being at home, you're living in it. And so moving away, you realize as you reflect the importance of your culture. Mm-hmm. And so being here, there's been a lot of significant events that have happened at home. And one of them being the proposal of the 30-meter telescope on mm-hmm. our most sacred mountain. And so we've done a few campus peaceful protests to just inform everyone of the situation at hand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like Shanson said, we had this focus on sustainability, and that's what the film we'll be watching on Saturday is about, or later Friday night. It's... on sustainability, and last year I was able to present on that topic of sustainability and how the island is alive and how it's something that feeds us, and if we take care of the land will take care of us. And with the building of this telescope, it will kind of destroy the land and this sacred place, and with that it kind of destroys the culture. It doesn't kind of, it does. It will destroy our culture by destroying this mountain, this sacred peak, where we talked about how indigeneity,
mm-hmm.
And we are the first people of Hawaii, and we started on this peak, and now we've grown to be islands. And if we destroy this peak where we came from, it'll destroy our history and all this cultural significance. And so we're trying really hard to fight against that. And being on campus, we've gotten a lot of support. We have over 500 signatures on our petition, which was really cool. I just thought it would be something interesting to do. And it turned out to be this really huge thing. But I'm really proud of it, mm-hmm. proud of the work we're doing.
And you talk about, is that a story? The story,
yes.
You alluded to a story, an
yes.
origin story, right?
The Kumulipo.
Yeah. Tell me about the story.
So it's very complex because as Pacific Islanders and moving into a space where now there's science, there's other opinions, you have the narrative of voyaging from other lands, but then as Hawaiians in our origin story, we have this genealogical relation to Mauna Kea. Yeah. And through...
Which is the mountain.
Yes, the mountain. And through the interaction of our Hawaiian deities, our gods, they were able to birth a daughter. The Sky Father and Earth Mother were able to birth a daughter, and then Sky Father and his daughter had a child, and then from that came food, and then came the first Kanaka Oivi, or Native Hawaiian, and we are descendants of that first Kanaka. And so it's a very sacred thing, and it's a touchy subject because there are so much at stake. There's us as the indigenous people, and then there's other countries who are funding this project. And so it makes it a complex issue.
Right, because that would be akin to any other people's sacred beginnings being used for another purpose, if I'm understanding. Mm-hmm. Even in this example, if the pursuit is supposedly honorable and for science.
Yeah. And I think kind of reeling it back into kind of the conference, voyaging, we're using the stars as such a huge part of our life. And Hawaiians love the stars. But we can also see them right. from where we are. So we don't really need a telescope. And we already have telescopes on the mountain. So building this huge, ridiculous telescope, in my opinion, is not what the Hawaiians would want. Mm-hmm. And it's not what we want.
And it's also, like, going back to, like, the values of Hawaiians, and what Abby said, that there's already telescopes up there. So there's already 13 telescopes on Mauna Kea. Mm-hmm. And kind of taking it from a Hawaiian perspective and kind of making use of what you have. And in my personal opinion, I think, like, why can't we as human beings who are advanced in technology and all this knowledge, why can't we use the 13 that's already up there and make advancements to those? And kind of this idea of using less for more, like using what you have and not taking advantage and only using what you need instead of just take of all these resources and then you're left with nothing.
Being more sustainable.
Yes, being more sustainable.
We have a question. Rick in Medford, you're on. Hello? Hello, Rick.
Hello? Yeah, I'm there. Hi.
What's your question?
Okay. So I was wondering if your participants there, do they know the works of Gavin Dawes? He was a professor of history, Hawaiian history, back in the mid-70s. And matter of fact, I was one of his students. I'm an alumni of University of Hawaii, Oahu, Manoa campus. So, and also, too, you were talking about the different ethnic groups, but you didn't mention anything about the Samoans or the Tahitians. And what group do they fall in your genealogy?
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you.
So touching on the ethnic groups, the Samoan and Tahitian people are a part of the Polynesian triangle. Those islands fall into that category of Oceania, and therefore they are Polynesian peoples. And I am interested to learn more about this professor, and I will definitely go back and do my research. And I'm very glad you called. It's cool to hear from Hawaii alumni.
Yeah, yeah.
And I actually, while I was in high school, I attended Kamehameha High School and on the island of Oahu. And I did this dual credit program with the University of Manoa. And it was really, speaking from my personal experience, it's really interesting taking classes with a university in the islands and then going away and taking classes and kind of comparing the two. So I think it's really unique when you find other people who have pretty much done the same thing, and like this idea of voyaging, like the things that you've done in the past and the things that you will do and how everything's connected and how everyone just kind of finds like, oh, like 20 years later or however many years later, you find someone like that you've shared this experience with. And I think that's really important for this conference is, you know, like we have all been through this voyage of life and it's not over. Like you can just continue to voyage and meet new people. So I think that's really also enriching.
Yeah, I think that that's interesting too. I mean, I think that I would be interested to know the comparison. Mm-hmm. I mean, we kind of talked about the, you know, the indigeneity as a way of teaching and learning on the island and in the geography, but how have you seen the difference between that way of teaching and learning and here?
Well, with my personal experience, it's really hard when, like, your culture is your everyday life. Like, when in back home, you're surrounded by all this values and kind of like an expectation to what you should do for your culture rather than what you want to do. So when I was taking credits, I didn't really, like, I understood the content and I understood the importance, but I didn't know how to take action on what I've learned. And actually leaving home and being put, like, this, given this responsibility that you are here for your education and your success, it's kind of like this big question, like, what are you going to do with the life that you were given, the educational opportunities.
So there's a responsibility that comes with, you know, being in your particular. I mean, I guess in general, there's a developmental stage that folk across the world are hopefully doing the same thing. But when you have a specific cultural reference, you know, and you have people that look like you that are saying, hey, you know, and a way of working, I would presume that that would put you online, you know, to kind of, you all are smiling like, definitely. Like there's a kind of a mission to say the least.
There is.
Rick called back from Medford, and the book that he was trying to reference the name was Shoals of Time, S H O A L S of Time, and the professor was Gavin Dawes, and I wrote it down for you all.
Perfect.
So there are, I understand, about 20 slots left for the conference. Where can folk find and come and register? Should they just, can they show up on at the Stevenson Union on Friday?
We would prefer if you register ahead of time. You can find the link to the conference registration on any of our social media platforms, be it Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Pacific Islander Indigeneity and Education Conference on Facebook, or Peace_SOU on Twitter or Instagram. That is PIIEC_SOU.
Okay, great. And so what's the main website?
If you're looking for the URL.
Yeah, the URL.
It's bit.ly. I think it's capital PIIEC. 2019.
Right. And so what we're going to do is go like the straight old school way and say, hey, Google the what? Google the name of the conference. Thank you for being here, you all.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure talking to Shansen Hipale, Abby Awai, and Hiile Raposa, organizers of the Pacific Islander Indigeneity and Education Conference happening this Friday at SOU.